Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's football legend Jamie Redknapp for new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins footwear.
Imagine playing football against no defence or goalkeeper. How easy would that be? That's what it's like putting on my new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. There's nothing stopping my foot from just going in. I just step in and I'm done, with no bending down to touch my shoes. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? It's like they have an invisible built-in shoehorn, so my foot slides into place. Then the heel pillow technology keeps my foot comfy and secure.
Find Skechers Slip-ins at a Skechers store or skechers.co.uk.
This episode of the Long Run Podcast is sponsored by Skechers.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the biggest, largest, hugest running podcast in the entire galaxy. Welcome along for this live show, this live edition of the Long Run Show, with special guest who just about made it in time. Monica's up there. We've also got on drums tonight, we've got Wilco, who I'm going to be coming to in just a minute. Once we get the intro out. So it's a condensed team tonight, and it's deliberate. We'd be like if you went to see Monica, it'd be precision treatment. This is what you're getting tonight. It's like precision is what me and Wilco have come up with tonight. It is deliberate. So we want you, before we get into this, to realise that this is live, okay? And we want you to get into the comments and ask any questions to Wilco and maybe Monica. If you want to know about injury prevention, stretching, something hurts and you're not sure what it is. Monica's here for the next, couple of hours. She thought it was an hour, but it's a couple of hours. So fire in your questions. So firstly, we're going to do some admin. We've got a big shout out to our sponsors at Skechers. Thank you very much to the guys at Skechers. Go to skechers.co.uk. We really appreciate it. Those guys. We've also got to give a shout out to Start Fitness. You can use the code 40runs. You're going to get 10% off. And if you buy some shoes, you're going to get some free socks because they're heroes and I really like them. So I'd recommend them. If you've not seen on Instagram, every day we have all these absolute maniacs going out across the country. There's over 40 satellite groups across the country in the 40 Runs Running Club. It's free to join. There's absolutely no reason to not go along to one of those groups. If for whatever reason you can't, there is a virtual group that goes out twice a week, Global Run Crew. You can be anywhere in the world. It's free to join. Get involved. Last plug, last thing you need to know. If you are doing the Manchester Marathon, people, you need to sign up for the Manchester Shakeout, the group run, on Saturday, 13th of April at the Up and Running store in Manchester at 11:30. It's free to attend. It's a nice, gentle 5K. You don't have to be running the marathon. You come along. Brooks are going to be there. Brooks are going to be letting you ruin a load of their shoes for free, which is, I think, is great news. You can't take them home. If you're Sue Flynn and you're coming, Sue, you can't keep the shoes. Okay? It's not allowed like last time. But they are letting you go and try on some of their new shoes. So Brooks are going to be there. And there are going to be some goodies. I'm just going to tell you now. Okay? So get onto the website. Sign up for that. Right. I think that's... It's hard because I haven't got like admin or like Hayden like here telling me what I should.
Monica, no, it's very much a second division.
Have I done all the right plugs? Can you just say nod?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. Right. So that's that. Right. So if you didn't know, tonight's show, we've got a special guest. She has put me back together for what, 5-6 years?
Oh, at least. Umpteen times.
Basically, when I get a problem, I go see Monica. And it's not necessarily just an injury. It just could be any counselling.
I'm a good counsellor as well.
Yeah. So she's the best in the business. And I don't care. I'm not saying it because she's here. She is the best in the business. You can ask any other. There has been times when she's put so much tape on me, right? But I've still got round. So she is an absolute legend. I could never have done the Berlin Marathon without her. I was in absolute bits. Wilco, you saw me at the Hartford group. I couldn't even walk. And this young lady up there got me in a position where I could actually finish Berlin Marathon with a smile on my face. So, honestly, she's incredible. We'll come on to all the plugs and all that sort of stuff later where they can find you. But the most important piece of information you need to take away is that she is qualified to talk about what she's going to talk about, right? She's not like me and Wilco, who have absolutely no idea what we're talking about.
I do make it up as I go along half the time.
Yeah,
but,
you shouldn't say that. You're meant to be professional.
You've got certificates and stuff.
Yeah,
I do. I have plenty of them and plenty of experience as well.
There we go. Right. And the good thing is, and this is where it's key for you guys who are watching live or listening back to this as a podcast, she understands runners, okay? The reason, well, one of the many reasons why I like Monica is because I will always ask the question, can I still run? And 9 times out of 10, she'll go, yeah. And then it'll be a but she'll go, yeah. Because she understands that us runners, we're addicted to running. And she'll try to get us back or me in shape to get out there and continue my running so I don't fall into a massive pit of depression. True or false, Monica?
True.
There you go. So, again, if you are tuning in live now, you missed the start. You didn't miss anything. It's the usual 5 minutes of absolute nonsense from me. Get in the questions, right? And ask Monica anything you want, whether it's injury prevention, you've got something that you want to ask her about, stretching, whatever it is, right? Should you be doing dry needling? Should you not? Should you be taping? Should you be wearing knee supports? All that kind of thing, all right? So that's what we do. Have a couple of questions that we've already taken, Wilco, from the Facebook group. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got loads of stuff coming in. And if we can talk about, you don't have to talk about your particular conditions. You can talk about prevention and things like that. What you can do, we don't want to do Monica out of business. You know, she's got her own across the rest of us. But we do, obviously, we want to help you to make sure that you don't perhaps have to go to the osteopath or the physio. You know, what can you do to help yourself? So Monica's here with all her wisdom and she can help us in that regard.
Okay. So before we get into the questions, we are now going to play what is actually become world famous, this game that I invented last week. Wilco, was you on last week when I played this?
Yeah, I was.
It's brilliant. It is. And actually, really, what I should have done, if I'd had like 30 seconds, I could have come up with an absolute banging intro for this as well. Must do this, Wilco, mustn't I?
Yeah.
So we're now going to play what is commonly known as true or false. Monica, you ready for this?
Oh, God.
You can only answer.
I haven't prepared for this, by the way. So
pardon?
I have no idea what's coming.
Oh, no, nobody does. This is the brilliant thing about the show. You're lucky we know what we're talking about. you only answer true or false. You can elaborate, but I will push you for a true or false answer. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay.
So these are five things, five tips, five things, five hacks, five stupid things that I found on Google about injury prevention. Okay.
Uh-oh.
You can play along, by the way, at home. So the first one, tip number one. We definitely need an intro, Wilco. Make sure to warm up properly before you run. This can help prevent muscle strains and injuries. Is that true or false? False or true?
True.
Why?
So I want you to think of your body like kind of almost like elastic band. If you go into something cold, there's not going to be any kind of like give or take within your system. There's not going to be any stretch or kind of springiness. especially, I would say, as a caveat, if you're running first thing in the morning. If you are rolling straight out of bed and going straight into a run, then your body hasn't even warmed up for the day. You know, you're going to be stiff, you're going to be creaky. I always think of, this is a long caveat, the body from the laws of physics. Movement and forces, bit geeky for you. Movement and forces have to go somewhere in your body. If you're not warmed up, if you're not springy, if there's no shock absorption in your body, whether that's in the joints or the muscles, all of those forces are going to reverberate somewhere in your body. So they're going to go kind of in the path of least resistance and lodge themselves somewhere and probably cause you an ache or a pain. It might not do you any damage, but over time, it could just lead into an injury that creeps in later on down the road. So I would say there's loads of different ways to warm up.
No, no, you're not allowed to get onto that. This is true or false. This is that you've done enough.
All right.
Number two, Wilco. Yeah. Oh yeah, we don't muck about you. This is not.
Are you asking me?
No. There's no point asking me or you any of this.
Oh, that's right. Because I'm writing stuff down. I'm going through this plethora of questions.
Don't drink any coffee. Tip number two. Is this true or false? Listen to your body. If you start feeling pain or discomfort, don't push through it. Take a break and rest. Is that true or is that false? False, true or false? False, or is that true? True. Maybe false.
I would call that a sliding scale of true or false.
Well, no.
And
the way the game works is it's true or false.
It depends on what the pain is, right? So, I mean, right, here's a question for you, Chris.
Oh.
Do you listen to your body when you feel pains or do you push on through?
You know what, right? As I've got older, yes. So, for example, this week I've been ruined because my mileage has just caught up with me. So today...
And you've not been in to see me, to be fair.
Yeah, that is correct. Although I do feel like I needed it last week. But anyway, but this week I have actually listened to my body and I took an extra day of rest. And the miles that I was due to do today, I'm going to do on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I needed an extra day's recovery. I felt very, very leggy this week.
Yeah.
It's to be expected. I mean, like whatever week it is, 12 or 10 or whatever, marathon training, I'm at 50 miles again. I expect it. But I have listened to my body. So I would say that's true, but I'm not in any pain or discomfort. I just feel that my body needed that extra day of rest.
Yeah. I would say within that, and this can be really hard for people to discern, does it feel like you are just a bit achy and tired? Or does it feel like there is something that is a bit more serious, a bit more sharp, a little bit more really pulling on something, you know, and that can be really hard for people to discern. I'm an osteopath. I'm very highly bodily aware. You know, you've had lots of treatments. You've probably can understand the difference between the two. So I would say if you feel like something is a bit sharper, I saw a comment on here about sciatica. I would be getting that looked at. If you've got, you know, your knee feels like it's going to give out when you're running or, you know, these kind of things, you go, no, do not push on through. Get that seam to rest. If you're a bit tired, you don't really want to run or something like that. In the words of you, soldier up or cowboy up. And,
there we go.
You know,
cowboy up. It is true. I do find that sometimes.
And get out there. You know,
it's a balance.
Those things.
Yeah. I had a niggle last week. And I think that was, funny enough, from not warming up properly. And it has niggled me, but I've continued to run through it. I've been mindful of it. And I've not done any excessive work, like longer strides or anything like that, any real downhill running. And I've run through it. And touch wood this week, no issues. So, again, I'm not advising. My advice is always to coach's hat on, listen to your body. But Wilco, did she say true or false?
She said it was on a sliding scale. Mm. I'd say she was about 60%.
Yeah, but I'm not
surprised.
I would
say true, right. Honestly. I'd say probably true.
Tip number three. And this is interesting because this somebody was saying about this in the Facebook group the other day. They were talking about an injury and they related it to their running shoes. And I actually said, hang on, hold tight. I think she was talking about cramps in her calves and cramps in general. And so I turned around and actually went out and said, well, what's your electrolyte intake before, during, and after, you know, and looking at fueling, hydration, that kind of thing, instead of the shoes.
Yeah, which is a very important thing. So well done you.
So tip number three, invest in good running shoes. Proper footwear can help prevent injuries and provide the support you need. True or false?
True.
There you go. We'll move on. It's quite overwhelming, that one, Wilco. What I've just realised, because I'm an absolute hero, is that when I said I had five tips, I've only actually wrote four down.
That's all right, mate. You know, we've got a lot to get through.
I'll find out. Right, tip number four. Cross-training to strengthen different muscles. Hang on. You must cross-train to strengthen different muscle groups and prevent overuse injuries. Tip number four, cross-train to strengthen different muscle groups and prevent overuse injuries. Is that true or could it be false?
I mean, I would say true, but is cross-training the same as strength training? I would say just do your strength training.
Hang on, whatever you keep moving about, you're going to have to stop it.
I think she's on a surfboard or something.
Yeah, are you... Whatever you move, we get this like wicked sound effect. It's quite entertaining, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It all come out in the edit, right? So anyway, so you would say it is true, but
strength training is most important.
Yeah,
I know you don't want to hear that.
No, because I don't do it.
No,
don't tell Ben that. But is there a downside to strength training?
No.
No. What, so if you go to the gym and you're absolutely hammering the gym?
I think, again, you need to balance it with your training block, wherever you're at.
Okay. So I'll let you have that one.
All right.
Right. I did promise five true or false tips, but I only wrote four down because I'm an absolute legend. So, Wilco.
Hello.
I think we've got like 10 million questions.
The old pen is burning here, mate.
I've got some on the chat. So shall I work through some of the chat ones and then get to a point where you take over?
Yeah, well, I'm fine, mate, because, I mean, some people are talking about similar sort of subjects.
Okay, right. Crack on.
So, right. So where do we want to start? We've got quite a few sort of like, I'll do all the plantar fasciitis. I can't even say it.
Fasciitis.
Yeah. Too many eyes.
Firstly, what is that?
Okay, so that is something that affects the heel and the foot. So it is pain across, basically into the ball of the heel and the foot. Yep, that beauty right there. There's a big, thick bit of connective tissue that attaches to the bottom of the heel and stretches across the bottom of the foot. Its primary role is to help support the arch in your foot and kind of give you some springiness to your foot. What happens is that if you have a fallen arch, or if you have maybe poor footwear, or if you're overdoing it, so runners, especially in training blocks, you put extra stress through the foot, and therefore it's pulling, this connective tissue is pulling usually on the heel and through the arch in the foot. So it gets inflamed, it gets very painful. Classically, it's painful first thing in the morning when you first get up, first few steps in the day, it's agony, like someone's stabbing you in the heel. It does get better as you ease up, but it's really an overuse kind of issue.
Okay, right. So Wilco, what was the question?
So so people were sort of like, what was causing it, and also what can they do to prevent it, and what can they do to deal with it?
Yeah,
when they've got
so
it.
Prevention is really important. So if you have flat feet, or if you think you might have flat feet, you're a bit more predisposed to it. You can get, again, this goes into proper footwear. So if you're doing the mileage, you want to make sure that you have been fitted properly by someone who knows what they're talking about for the right shoe for you. There's every brand kind of has a you know, they might be slightly wider, they might be slightly narrower, better for, I don't know a lot about the drops of heel drops and stuff, but you need to go somewhere, usually somewhere that has a good array of different brands of shoes. So if you go into, say, an ASICS shop, they're going to sell you ASICS. You want to go somewhere that has lots of different brands so they can look at your foot and what you need. Insoles can help as well.
I was going to ask that. Yeah. Some people use those insoles, don't they?
Yeah. And now, again, insoles are kind of a contentious subject. So you don't want to just go whacking an insole into the bottom of your foot willy-nilly. You want to kind of, if you think of your foot, let's see if I can do this way. If you like this, here's your arch and you've just kind of flattened your foot a little bit. You don't want to put an insole in there so it just goes like really severely back again. Mm. You want to just take it a few millimeters back off of where you're getting the pain. Mm. So that in a sense, it takes the pressure off of the structures which are causing pain and getting inflamed. But again, I have a few people that I recommend in London especially, but there's loads of podiatrists and people around who do custom insoles.
Yeah.
Or semi-custom insoles. They can be expensive, but they're probably cheaper than lots of sessions to an osteopath or a physio over time. Mm. So it's really a lot about foot biomechanics with plantar fasciitis. But then also one of the really most important things, if you are starting to get the first signs of it, which is pain into the heel, a tension through the foot structure, when either in the morning when you first walk around or when you're running, is a lot of tension in the calf muscles and the Achilles tendon can then start pulling on the foot and those structures. So if you're starting to get any symptoms of that kind of plantar fasciitis, my first port of call would be to stretch the hell out of your calf muscles and foam roll your calf muscles. Mm. When you're stretching the calf muscles, always stretch. Like I would heel drop off the edge of a curb or a stair and do some of the time with a bent knee and some with a straight knee. And that just hits two different muscles in the calf. You can use a golf ball is perfect because it's firm and small, but you can also just buy like a foot massage ball on Amazon.
I've got one.
I was going to say, Wilco looks like he's got one under there somewhere.
Okay. You don't need to show us it.
But a golf ball, if you've got one banging around, is perfect for rolling your foot with.
There you go.
And it kind of just massages out those muscles and those tissues.
These are about a fiver in Decathlon.
Perfect. And the last thing that you can do is obviously icing it. But if you take like a 300 or a 500 mil bottle of water, dump out a little bit and then freeze it, because it's quite a narrow circumference around the bottle, you can roll your foot across the frozen water bottle and you're both rolling it and icing it at the same time. And that's quite a great way to kind of just hit those, you know, inflamed.
And it feels great. Can I just add one more bit before we move on to that? From a personal point of view, I get a lot of foot cramp when I'm doing yoga and things like that. Would that be related to that?
Yeah. So if you have either slightly flatter feet or arches that drop a little bit, or just those muscles are getting overstretched. So being barefoot, let me leave that aside a sec. Putting that extra stress through feet and those muscles, there's tons of muscles in the foot, tiny little ones, and they can just cramp up like any other foot muscle can. Mm. Be barefoot as much as you can around the house.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That's what I heard.
All that kind of stuff. Being barefoot is one of the best things you can do for overall kind of movement patterns, foot and ankle health, general mobility, working on your nervous system, all that kind of stuff. So try to become more comfortable with being barefoot, and that can help with all of those, you know, kind of foot issues as well. So
yeah, I heard that as well. Right, Wilco, what's the next thing that we're going to cure?
I mean, we had we've had all the greatest hits, really. So the next one
is a bit like that, isn't it? It's like the greatest hits.
I knew exactly what people were going to say when we put it, threw it up, sort of thing. So Julie Barnes, she's one person, and Seamus Lynch, he's also mentioned today. IT band issues.
Okay.
Suggestions for exercises for prevention from Julie. And I suppose also, you know, what you can do and, you know, if you're struck down by it.
Well, Monica, I'll tell them what you she gave me these things to do, right? Monica told me to do it. And I'll be, again, straight, I'm not blind about her because she's sitting there and it's worked every time. The other day, I can't remember what round we was doing with Ben, and I started off like, I feel my IT, man, and it'd been giving me a bit of murder for a couple of days. I sat on the floor with one of those stretchy band things that she gives you, right? Stupid thing is, you pull it down, you lay flat on your back, stick your leg up in the air, toes down, you send it out, you send it both ways. I tell you what, I did that a few nights. I was back in business, Wilco. So it was literally just, it's just getting one of them stretchy bands. Yeah.
It's almost like we need a kit list, like one of these little balls.
Yeah.
I can definitely do that for you.
Yeah. It's all band.
Cheap and easy. And it'll probably also fit into like a tiny little bag of the kit.
It is like a runner's kit. You need like one of them stretchy bands. Honestly, just more than I tell you, but I had my leg up, my left leg, it was. I'm like from my hips over, stretch it out, like bending my toes, absolutely killed me. And then I moved it slowly back to the other side, held it out, and I was doing that every night, and it seems to have tidied itself up. So there we go.
And of course, I suppose, you know, you could do things like yoga and Pilates to do that without needing to, you know, consult medical advice and just try and sort yourself out.
I would say the majority of stuff, and I'll get onto IT bands specifically, not doing myself out of a job and not saying that, you know, more serious pains or whatnot need some attention, because they do. But the majority of stuff, especially in the lower limbs, so we're talking stuff around the hips, knees, calf and ankles, your first port of call should always be try to stretch it out. Do some foam rolling and maybe a bit of icing. Really, you know, try that first, and that will alleviate, especially around the knee. The majority of running related knee problems are because of soft tissues. Unless someone's come along and wiped you out, or, you know, you've had like an actual kind of impact injury, the majority of knee problems are because of biomechanical stuff going on in the lower limb. I'll try not to get too geeky here, but if you think of the knee joint, it is, and this will go into the IT band very easily. It's a joint that it's very solid and secure, and it's wedged between the hip and the ankle. So it's only in this kind of biomechanical chain. It's only ever going to do what is allowed to do by the ankle or the hip. So all of the control of the lower limb and the knee comes from the hip and the hip muscles. So the majority of issues come because maybe you don't have enough pelvic or hip stability. So that comes to, you need to work on some strength there. Or there's too much stiffness in the ankle, and it's not working quite well enough. And so the knee it kind of gets shunted elsewhere. So the majority of running related knee stuff is more than likely going to be soft tissues that are reacting to those kind of things. So what happens with the IT band syndrome stuff is that the knee is too tight. Not too tight, that's wrong, sorry. The knee kind of bends inwards or bends outwards or whatnot. So the IT band is a really thick bit of connective tissue, which runs from the outside of the hip down to the outside of the knee, just below the knee. As a bit of connective tissue, it does not stretch. It does not contract. It's not a muscle. So what its main purpose is to connect these joints, act as another attachment point for other muscles, and kind of keeps everything in place, essentially. So what we end up getting with IT band issues is either too much tension or issues in the muscles that lie underneath it, which are the outside quad muscle, the outside hamstring muscle, so on the front or the back of your thigh, or around the outside of the hip, so kind of the outside of the glutes. So,
sorry, Monica, cut in.
No.
It's interesting, but the, I mean, some people say, oh, my knee's hurting.
Yeah.
But actually, it's the IT band. Because it goes, didn't it go like?
It goes straight down the outside of your, come on, show us.
Demonstration. Sorry if you're on the podcast. Yeah. Everyone,
yeah, this is an audio-based media outlet. He's now standing. Yeah. Oh, he's going to stand in his chair. We can't see because the microphone's in the way. You're going to have to move to one side.
It goes. You feel it across the front of your knee.
Yeah. So it attaches to the like the outside and the front, just in of your knee. But what you need to do when you have, so it can pull on these bony bits around the knee, giving you pain. Mm. But it's not really the IT band's fault, is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
It starts pulling on the knee because there's tension in the muscles underneath it, which are quads, hamstrings, or the hip's not quite controlling the movement of the limb enough. And so the glutes are causing a problem. And so just the whole angle of the leg and the knee changes so that it's pulling on its attachments around the knee, causing pain.
Okay. So bottom line, you've got to stretch it.
You got to stretch the quads. You don't stretch the IT band. You stretch the quads and the hamstrings and the glutes.
Should you foam roll your IT band directly or should you foam roll the muscles?
The muscles.
Okay.
So you come straight off the IT band, foam roll into the quads and the hamstrings and the glutes, and you're golden.
Okay. Right. Wilco, next ailment.
Right. What are we talking about now? Oh, yes. I've got Stuart Walton. He said on Facebook he was the first one to reply. So. Any advice on SI joint pain and running, please? I found strengthening the posterior chain and core with kettlebells and core exercises to really help, but any other advice would be awesome.
What was that again, Wilco?
Keep doing that.
I'm going to read it again.
Yeah, I couldn't understand it.
Well, I don't know the technical terms, mate. You know.
Right, so the SI joint is the sacroiliac joint.
Right.
Which is at the base of the spine where the triangular bone, your sacrum, joins in with the pelvis.
Oh, so he's got a bad back?
Bad lower back.
Yeah, so what's he got to do to sort that out?
So he's already doing a lot of strengthening.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Posterior chain, which is the whole backside of the body. Mm-hmm. And I would say continue doing that. You can also mobilize your lower back and your hips and probably foam roll your glutes because the glutes attach over the top of the SI joints.
What about some swimming or like yoga or something? Like,
yeah.
Swimming works for everything. Swimming's like, if my leg was hanging off, I think I'd get in the pool and swim because it's apparently really good for everything. If my head was in half, I'd probably get in the pool and swim because it's great for everything. Right, Wilco, what's the next ailment?
What else we got? Sorry, mate. I've got three. We've got related to backs. Robert Henson said he got a pain in the middle across of his back between his shoulder blades and his spine. Oh. Any ideas what that might be?
So One of the things I found quite interesting is actually that shoulder movement and upper back movement is really important with running. All we think about is lower back, legs, hips, feet. But, you know, there's a lot going on around your shoulders 100%. To pump your arms, to give you your cadence and your speed and work on all that. The majority of us work at computers, are hunched over phones and technology and desks all the time. So a lot of us have quite rounded shoulders and everything to begin with, then go out running, which kind of, if you're kind of rounded, you might be leaning forward a bit.
Everybody does.
Yeah. Mm. Everyone's leaning too far forward.
Yeah. Hunched
over. With that, what I would recommend is get stretching into your chest. So my favorite stretches is like getting your arm up against a door frame or the wall and kind of really opening up the chest. And then also getting on top of a foam roller through your upper back. So that's your thoracic spine, can really help kind of work as a fulcrum to kind of open up your upper back. So you just have to think that a lot of our life is spent hunched forward and that you just need to kind of like open everything up to counterbalance that. Basically, don't ignore the upper back and the chest.
I was going to say that. The other thing is as well, if people are running, it sounds nuts, but if you're running with like a phone or running with like a water bottle.
Yeah.
Again, that can, you'll be surprised how much, you know, that will send you off a bit.
Absolutely.
So just be aware of stuff like that. Whoever Facebook user is, please, if you're on Facebook and you've got a question, put your name next to it. We've just gone through IT bands, so you've got to either rewind or listen to this award-winning podcast. It's available across the galaxy to everybody. There was a question I was interested in because I think these are absolute tut. Compression knee, neoprene, knee braces, all this sort of stuff, right? All this stuff you could buy on Amazon.
Yeah.
Is it just complete nonsense, right? These knee straps. You see people like literally, it can hardly straight like
RoboCop.
Yeah, it's like it's like RoboCop, right? And then you see people with like them all over them, and you just think to yourself, how can that help? Is it a mental thing, or is like because they were saying about placebo thing? I appreciate the science behind the taping. Right, yeah. I understand that.
We love taping.
You've bored me to death amount of times about that. Because I've said to her, what's this all about? It's a load of old rubbish. And then she's like gone in on me. She sounds about right. But these compression things, are they absolute nonsense? Or is it can they work?
So compression sleeves, I think, are actually quite good and valuable. Now, there's a lot of different braces on the market and they all kind of do a different thing. So one of the things I see a lot is that someone goes, I've got knee pain. Amazon says this brace is good for knee pain. So they get that brace. Sorry.
Just off. Just Eats just arrived.
Yeah, that's the Amazon man with a load of knee
just
braces.
Just Eats just arrived. What are we having?
And so all the different braces do different stuff. Compression sleeves are great if you have any kind of swelling. If you're feeling like, you know, maybe there's, so probably shin splints, a calf sleeve works quite well for them. Around the knee, if you've had old injuries that are maybe kind of becoming a little bit swollen or irritable, work really great for that. Placebo's a really big thing. If a compression sleeve makes you feel better when you run, do you know what? Go for it.
I think it is a lot of that. I used to wear calf sleeves when I was doing easy long miles because I just felt like it helped my calves, right? One time I forgot to wear them and then I felt exactly the same afterwards. And it was just like, why was I wearing them in the first place? Because it made no difference. It was all in my mind. You know what I mean? It's like it was completely made up. But I'm not saying it don't work, right? I'm just saying that's my experience.
But placebo's a really good thing if it actually doesn't do any harm. I mean, the harm is you spend a lot of money on something that's not really, you know, helping. So back to the braces, the other braces that I see a lot are those kind of like chubby grip things that you kind of wear around the knee like this.
Yeah.
Mm. Now those ones work more specifically if you have like a Achilles tendon, not Achilles, patella tendonitis, which is where the tendon that attaches into the kneecap. So that's not going to work if you have IT band issue, or if you have maybe some maltracking. These are, you know, the big words, but like other stuff going on in the knee. So I think when it comes to braces, it's actually kind of important to either, if there's something significant going on in your knee that you feel like you need some help with, see someone, get a diagnosis, and then if you want a brace, then kind of do it accordingly, would I guess be my...
Yeah, I'd go taping it. I've got to answer Gary Cooper's question so you don't get into like legal ground.
Not the Gary Cooper.
The Gary Cooper. On a scale of 1 to 10, without disclosing patient info, it's all right, I'm the patient, I say what I like. How much does Chris actually listen as a patient? I tend to listen for a week or so until the pain issue goes and then I go back. I can categorically tell you, out of 10, I'm a zero. I will walk out of there and then I'll go and do 20 miles. And then I'll go back her and say, my back still hurts. Why is that? And she'll go, because you didn't listen. I'll go, oh, yeah, there was that. But the only thing I would say, in terms of the stretches, I don't tend to listen to her when I've got the injury. I won't do them. I'll just sit there and get miserable. But like I said, I gave an example about my AT band. I will go back and go, oh, Monica said something about that, because I can feel it coming, like I said, with my IT band. And in fairness to her, I did the stretches. Bob's your uncle. I'm off to do 20 miles tomorrow. How do you like that? See what I mean? So I'd say out of 10, I'd give it a strong zero, but I do listen to some of it. Okay, there we go.
Now, we just, Monica touched on, mentioned something that a lot of runners worry about and a lot of big overuse thing, shin splints. We've had a couple of questions about that. So, I mean, the bane of people's lives. Yeah. So,
runner's knee gets right on my nose.
Yeah, so shin splints are huge. And when they come on, I mean, everyone will attest, it's like there's nothing you can seem to do to get them to shift. Without going into too many of the boring details, most, I actually did a post on Instagram like a few days ago about shin splints. So I'm talking about it a little bit. Shin splints usually come on at the very beginning of a training program or when you change something up in a program. So the thing about shin splints is that it's about how quickly the body is adapting to the load you're putting it under. So if you change your routine or you're you're at a part in your training block where you're starting to go a little bit further, maybe faster, you go to a 40 group on a Wednesday and he puts you through the paces, you know, those sorts of things where you kind of go, you're trying to make your body do something that it's not quite ready to do. Usually to work through shin splints, you have to let ease up on the load that you're putting it through. So I always tell my patients to go out for less time or distance and go slower. So it's about managing that load. If you go out too fast, too quickly, you think of someone at the beginning, you know, doing a couch to 5K or the, you know, first couple of weeks of a marathon training block, their body's like, what the fuck is going on? So it's about, it responds treatment-wise, if you were to see someone, they respond really well to a bit of massage. Again, some acupuncture, some taping works really well. So luckily enough, shin splints are actually quite an easy thing to tape up yourself if you need to. I can always like film something and post it on your page about how to tape up your own shin splints. But it's about giving your body enough time to adapt to the pressure you're putting it under.
It's overuse, so, isn't it? It's just classic overuse. That and runner's knee, which is just a terminology because nobody knows what it is.
Runner's knee is tightness around the knee, making it painful.
Yeah. Basically. And again, it's just decrease load, decrease effort, decrease intensity.
Intensity is the main thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
because, as you say, you get people who are doing catch the 5K, classic thing. They do it for 2 or 3 weeks. They go, and they get addicted.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, I'm going to run every day. And
yeah.
Not really. The plan says you're meant to do this. Follow the plan. You'll be just fine. It's been prepared and well cultured, you know, so it comes out with this result. But I appreciate that all of a sudden you think, oh yeah, I could do this.
Yeah.
And you then feel, you go out and then you run too fast.
You want to do more.
Yeah. And you're just doing everything too fast and you haven't developed, you know, all your different energy systems yet. You're down here and you're trying to go up here and it's just a complete mess. Yeah. And then you end up injured. So just everything slowly.
And the problem is that it's all down to patience, isn't it? When you're patient at the start, patient when you're injured, and that's something that nobody's got a big supply of. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to have a rest and sit down and do nothing.
Nah. Yeah.
I think that's another, like, something we've not actually talked about, which is probably the most important thing, is making sure you give yourself enough time to rest and recover between, not just, you know, obviously from life, but also from your runs. And I have some patients who are training for a marathon who are running 4 or 5 times a week. Maybe they're in the gym once or twice. They might be doing another swim and a yoga class and stuff. Before you know it, they're just completely burnt out. And one of the things you have to think about with your body when you're training and, you know, for a marathon, you're in the gym trying to get stronger, is all of this stuff is putting your body under stress and strain. You're tearing muscles a little bit. You're stressing your heart and your lungs to then make them recover, have a recovery period that then makes them stronger, that builds more muscle, that make, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
If you don't give your body time to rest, have adequate sleep, time off of the exercise, enough water, the proper nutrition, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen,
I'll go back to what I said at the start. You know, when we was doing that game, you know, in terms of classic example, me this week, I've taken an extra rest day in because it's so important to rest and recover. You know,
Do you find, Monica, when you're talking about, you know, Chris has just said there that he thought, right, I need a rest day, so I'm going to do it now. Is it better to sort of like try and preempt that and think, you know, try and get the rest 2 weeks before you really need it? Sort of, do you see what I mean? Like try and.
Yeah. I think that's probably hard to kind of anticipate when you're going to need it. I think you can probably know when you're starting to do a little bit too much, or I don't know, personally, I can feel it mentally when I'm trying to fit in too much stuff. And then that I get a little bit more anxious and that kind of stuff. And then I know that that will probably mean that my body will react later down the road. So it might be hard to go in 2 weeks, I'm going to need an extra rest day, but I think it's probably just one of those things to hammer at home, but it's really hard for everyone to get, including myself, is that rest is as an integral part of a training routine as the miles, as the day in the gym, as the stretching, the mobility, or anything.
We did it on a video. I said how to write your own training plan. It's on the YouTube channel. You crack on. And I think I say in it, the first thing that you put in that plan is what day you're having the full day of rest.
Yeah.
And if I'm writing a training plan for somebody, I wrote one today. It was like, right, that's a full, complete day of rest. Okay. So there's no running on some other days, but we want to get some cross training in there, different like sorts of cross training, strength, condition, that sort of thing. But ultimately, the first thing I put in the plan is, right, what day can you do absolutely nothing? Like zero. And I appreciate not everybody can do that, but what does doing absolutely nothing mean to you? Could be, oh, right, you're still on your feet, you know, running about, but you're not doing additional, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's trying to find that out. And it's so important. But coming on to your point, Wilco, for me, it's experience. So I know, because I've done so many training blocks now, I know when I get into that point where I need an extra rest day.
Yeah.
I can feel it. I knew that I was... that this week is a big week for me. Next week's a big week for me. And I'm quite confident and able to go, I'd rather take a rest day over the mileage, because ultimately that will improve me as a runner, and put the end result, which is on race day, will be better because I've actually done the correct thing. So instead of slogging out and going out for 4 miles, which is what I was on my plan today, an easy 4 miles, I've got, no, I'm going to have a rest day, because that actually will benefit me more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is difficult. I mean, for us as well, you know, we're as guilty as anybody. We sit here Friday night after Friday night saying to people, you've got to do your strength training, you've got to do your gym work, you've got to do your cross training and stuff like that. But yeah, you've got to have, I mean, Friday, I never run on a Friday. The most I've done today, I've walked down to the shops, post a letter and come back. You know, I've just done, had a really, really quiet day, and I don't do anything on a Friday. I could never do like the red and all that when people go out and run every day. I'd never do that, you know, because I know that I need one day where I do nothing.
Yeah,
because I'm virtually, because I've got the other 5 or 6 days, I am out. I'm out running.
Yeah, I think, and as you say, if you're not running, you're doing other stuff. Right, Wilco, I'm conscious of the time.
Yes.
I wanted to get on to sciatica.
Yes. Well, I mean, we've got a lot of problems that I think with a lot of comments that people have made that seem to be quite sort of like specific and, you know, particular bits are aching here and stuff like that, which is a bit difficult for us to sort of talk about.
We really, I mean, I could go through them as a qualified doctor, like, but it's very hard for Monica to do that.
Yeah, but like, we want to talk about prevention and stuff like that, and what you could do with like the common ailments mainly coming.
Yeah.
But I think sciatica is a good one to sort of finish on. Mm. I mean, you know, Monica, when my back, my sciatic thing, whatever you tell me, something or other, saying a sciatic thing or whatever. But still now, I still do the stretches. Like, I'm sitting on the train. I'll show you another demonstration. You can't see, but I pick my leg up and I put it on the top of my knee and I'm crossing it out. I'm crossing it over. And if my back is straight, I'm sitting there and I can feel that in my sciatic nerve, right, round the back. That's a little cheat. I do it on the train in the morning on the way
home. Yeah, poor bloke sitting next to you.
Yeah, I could give a monkey's about the geezer who wants to get off at Enfield or Ponders End. Do one. I'm sitting there because I'm stretchy, because I'm an athlete. But I'm being serious. I can feel that even sitting here. And I used to put, when I was sitting in an office all day, I actually, because Monica told me to, like, well, you know, one of the balls wheel code that you had? Yeah. I just sit on one of them and then do this stretch where you pull it up like that for the old sciatica. That's what she told me to do. I tell you what, I could have cried, but in half work. You're welcome, by the way, Wilco.
That's great. All great info. All good info.
Good. So, Monica.
Well, that's that done.
Yeah. So, in terms of sciatica, right?
Yeah.
It is literally a pain in the bum.
Yeah.
But the stretches that I said about obviously help. Is there anything else people can do around sciatica to sort of, well, help it? If you're in the middle of a training block and it flares up, I mean, you've had one, haven't you? But is there anything people can do?
Yeah. So I saw a couple of comments about, you know, should I be running through sciatica and stuff? So really quickly, sciatica is technically, can be caused by lots of different stuff. So it's generally just compression anywhere along the sciatic nerve, which runs from your lower back through the bum, down the back of the thigh and into the calf and foot. If you have a really bad flare up of that, oh my God, it can be excruciating. And, you know, it comes with pins and needles, numbness. If it's left for too long, you can start getting weakness in the leg, all sorts of stuff like that. So if you're having bad sciatica, it's not something that I would ignore, or I would have some treatment and find out what's really causing it. Is it a disc? Is it a tight muscle in your bum? Is it just because your pelvis is twisted? Stuff like that. So I wouldn't leave it without having some treatment. That could be a massage, seeing an osteopath, whatnot. That's my disclaimer. To help yourself, again, it kind of goes into doing some stretching of your hamstrings and your glutes, some mobility. So when I talk about mobility, I'm thinking more joint movement. So mobility is getting your joints, maybe in your lower back, moving a little bit better, foam rolling. Ice packs can work really well around the lower part of your spine and into the buttock muscles. because of bringing down any inflammation and stuff that might be kind of caused around there.
I've just remembered something.
Tell me.
Sorry, no, when I had that before, you stuck all these things on me. I remember because I think we even took a picture of my Aris with them on.
Oh, yeah, the cups.
The cups. How does that work for sciatica? Or that area? Let's say that area, because mine was more specific to my back.
Yeah, but so...
In terms of that cupping thing, what's that all about? Does that help it?
So cupping's great because it uses kind of pressure. It's an opposite of putting massage pressure. So it's pulling up through all the tissues. So it can break down any kind of stickiness in connective tissue. It helps with blood flow and nerve stimulation and stuff to the area. The great thing, so I use the cups that are silicon. So they're kind of quite bendy. And so you can stick them on like your hams, down the length of your hamstrings, and then do some hamstring stretches with them. They're pretty safe to use at home as well. So you could do that yourself, and it kind of aids the stretch and the movement you get in that. So with kind of managing and preventing sciatica, if you have a tendency towards that, I would say you need to keep the tension off of your hamstrings and your lower back and your glutes. So that comes down to foam rolling.
Stretching.
And making sure that nerve is not getting pulled tight and taut from both ends, you know?
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to this stretch. This is the thing, Wilcutt. I mean, it's a
good example. Do you see a common theme?
No, it's true, because I tell you why it makes me think of Wilcutt, because Wilcutt on Tuesday night at our group in Hartford, I sort of made Wilcutt do this group stretches, and he done a cracking job, right, at this group stretches. And it goes back to that point of don't underestimate the stretches. Right? I was sat, like I said to you, in my lounge last week with my IT, stretching that out. If I have a slight tightness, a slight niggle, or I can feel just whatever, I will get, and I will do the stretches. My kids are brilliant at it. My girls are dancers. So they'll get down there and they'll show the old man how it's done, right? But that's the sort of thing. Get the old TV on and get some stretches done. Or
that's right.
when I had the issues with my back, where I went to see Monica before Berlin and New York, I was doing like a 10-minute mobility thing on YouTube. I put my phone on the floor. I had some American geezer. I couldn't tell you which one it was. And it was like a 10-minute mobility thing that I was doing just when I was like literally couldn't even walk with it. And that really helped. And then I obviously saw Monica. She'd done all that cupping thing and took pictures of my bum and put them on Instagram, which is really important. But all that sort of stuff. And then it got through. But my point is that the mobility and the stretching, ultimately, I think, obviously seeing the genius up there, is what really helped. So don't underestimate. I think that's a common theme of everything that we've spoken about. All the greatest hits of, as runners, what we suffer with. Runner's knee, plantar, sciatica, whatever else we've spoken about.
Shin splints, yeah.
Yeah, if you're stretching, right, you're doing a good dynamic warm-up before your session, and then you're making a real good point of doing that stretching afterwards. You are doing your foam rolling. Personally, I use a massage gun. Like the... last week, this week, next week, I'm using a massage gun every night on my calf muscles. It hurts like hell because I'm trying to help them. As again, I'm in peak mileage. So I'm doing that sort of stuff because it's preventative. So then I don't have to go and see Monica. Although she loves to see me, it's trying to get me so I don't. And I've learned that through however many training blocks I've done now. And it's the same message to all of you. Listen to what Monica said, but there's a common thread. And that is the preventative side of things ultimately is stretching.
And you can do it. You can do it watching the telly, watching EastEnders, sat in your front room.
I think that's it. Right, I think that's it. Monica, have you got one bit of advice other than stretching for any runner that is currently in the in the middle of a training or towards the end of the training, and they're feeling a bit like, I don't know, sore?
Get yourself a massage.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, you don't have to see an osteopath and have like medical osteopathic treatment. Mm-hmm. Get some massage. You know, you're at the end of a training block. If you're coming up to April marathons, you know, let us iron out the kinks and,
that's true,
you know, bring some life back into your muscles.
That's work.
Have one now you know, maybe, yeah. Anyways, just, you know, because you really like put in the work, you've pounded the miles, you've just done it. Like,
okay,
have a match.
Just before she goes, I'd like to ask Monica how her own running's journey's going, because she was doing a bit of running and then she had a bad knee injury. How's the recovery gone and everything?
So, yeah, I'm not back to running yet. So it's been 2 years since my accident, which for anyone that doesn't know the story, I'm really briefly, very dramatic, had a skiing accident 2 years ago and ruptured both ACL ligaments. So had surgery on both knees. Rehab's been great. I'm in the gym a few times a week. My life is normal. I'm not running because it still hurts my knee, and I'm still just working back towards it not hurting, basically. Yeah. So I do a lot more swimming and a lot more dog walking now at the moment, but I'm desperate to get back to running as soon as I can, but not before I'm ready.
But there's a moral to that story, and that's not to go skiing. It's true. Right, Monica, I'm going to put it back up. I've just broke everything. Where can people find you, firstly, on socials? Because you post a lot on Instagram with tips and stuff. What's that?
So I'm mostly on Instagram. My handle is at MFBosteo.
Okay.
That's where I live the most. Okay. I also have a page on Facebook, which is MFB Osteo as well, I think.
Yeah. Then there's the website.
And then I have an in-person clinic in Hoddesdon in Hertfordshire. So if anyone is local or semi-local and wants to have some treatment or a chat, you know, you can find me there. But I'm always here to answer questions. So, you know, you can email me or drop me a message on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and, you know, chat and talk about running.
Yeah, get on Instagram. People.
There's Instagram.
Yeah, there's so much content that she's got on there, stretches and stuff like that. That's definitely the way to consume the information. And again, I don't care. I say what I like, as you guys know. She is a wizard. Right, actually, she's a witch. I've called her many names, and
things that rhyme with witch.
Honestly, the stuff she's done to me, I'm telling you now, hand on heart, the amount of time she's put me back together again, it's insane. And as I said to you, like Berlin Marathon, you ask anybody, I could not even walk. My back was in that much agony, and I done Berlin, and I felt great. So that's down to Monica. If you are local, but even if you want to travel a little bit, it's worth it. Honestly, she understands us as runners, and that's the key to it. You go to some of these people and they ain't got a Scooby. Oh, yeah, go and do these stretches, mate. Yeah, there's 50 quid. Thanks very much. Honestly, they ain't got a clue. Go and see Monica.
Thank you. She
is the one. Right, okay. Thank you very much, Monica.
Thank you.
We are not live next week, because next week I'm going to be getting fat eating chocolate. Because it's Good Friday and I'm starting early because I don't care. So there is that next week. And so we're not here. We're going to actually record. We're going to do it next. We're going to record an amazing pre-record with somebody who is so inspiring. It will blow your mind. And I'm not underplaying that, am I, Wilco?
No, very much not.
I'm telling you now, it's a very, very, very inspiring story from an everyday runner that I think all of you should listen to. It's unbelievable. Okay, so that's next week. That'll be next Friday. We'll put the podcast out as usual. The video will come out as well. We're back the following week. And I can't remember who's on. And I don't even know what we're talking about. But don't worry about that. I will be live. Hang on, where are we? No, on Monday. Yes, I will be live, mate, because it's not Easter Monday, is it?
No.
So I will be live on Monday, 8 o'clock. Come and hang out with me. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know, why I'm not in Jamaica, whatever you want to come and talk to me about, I don't mind. That was it, really. Thank you very much again to Monica. We really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
Go and check her out on Instagram. Wilco, thanks very much. Don't you drink any coffee in the break we've got between recording them.
Go on, mate.
I've now got to find the outro. And by the way, has anybody seen Toby recently? I think Monica was the last person to see Toby. Is that true?
I mean, that was ages ago. So if he's been
AWOL
then.
Yeah. So honestly, I don't think. Is he still in your clinic? could still be in there. Right, okay. Goodbye, everybody. We shall see you all later. Bye, bye, bye.
Cheers,
bye.
Everyone.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.